Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and it's the 5th of December, 2011. And today I'm talking to Clive Boddy, a researcher in the UK who has recently written an article entitled The Corporate Psychopath Theory of the Global Financial Crisis, which is available in the Journal of Business Ethics. So, Clive Boddy, it's great to have you on the program today. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, nice to talk.
All right. Well, this is your first time on the program, so perhaps you can start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your background in this research.
My background is, I used to be a businessman running market research companies in Asia Pacific, and then became a part-time academic and decided to get more involved in academia. So people suggested I go and study for a doctorate, which I did in Australia. And the subject of my doctorate was psychopaths in business. I'd read a bit about them in the Harvard Business Review, actually. There was a small paragraph about executive psychopaths. And it struck me that I'd perhaps come across people who would score highly on a psychopathy scale in my business life. And my interest grew from that.
I see. So this is something that you had encountered in your business life, or something that you were only theoretically interested in?
I think I've encountered it, yes. I think I've met people who would, as I say, score highly on most psychopathic scales or psychopathic scores and measures.
Well, that in itself raises an interesting question, because psychopathy is notoriously difficult to nail down, and there are a number of different scales and measures and tests that are used to try to identify psychopaths. But even in and of itself, it raises the question of how we even identify psychopathy itself. So what kind of scales or ideas were you using to try to identify corporate psychopathy?
Well, as you probably know, there's been a confounding of criminology or criminals with psychopathy, so that the two have become mixed up. And for a long time, psychologists studied psychopaths in prisons, and especially male psychopaths in prisons, which meant that there was a confusion between criminal behavior and psychopathic behavior. And that led to the sort of view that psychopaths will inevitably commit violent acts and end up in prisons, which on reflection, isn't necessarily the case. So in recent years, or more recent years, psychologists have come to study what they've called successful psychopaths, or successful psychopaths who exist in society under the radar, sort of thing, who are apparently successful people, but yet are still psychopaths. And it's those that I'm interested in. So in terms of identifying, you have to take most of the psychopathic scales that exist and remove the criminal elements from them to leave you with the core underlying elements which identify psychopaths. And I relied on the work that, as you might know, that Harvey Cleckley was the first writer on psychopaths in his book, which was called The Mask of Sanity. And he talks about professional psychopaths who were engineers or doctors or lawyers. But he was still, he thinks, had high psychopathic scores themselves.
I see. So moving into the corporate psychopath sphere, tell us about some of the features of the corporate psychopaths. What are some of the identifying trademarks of these people?
I think the most the key characteristic of a psychopath, whether it's corporate or just criminal, is a total lack of conscience. And that means a total lack of empathy with other people, a total lack of care for other people, and a total dedication to fulfilling their own agenda and following a self-promotion, self-enrichment, self-aggrandizing career.
Indeed. So moving into the idea of the global economic collapse that we've obviously been seeing taking place over the last several years, tell us about your thesis and how you came to conclude that there was an element of corporate psychopathy in this financial crisis.
There have been several theories about how psychopaths get into organizations and what they do once they're in there. And the consensus among psychologists seems to be that they're very good at portraying themselves in a very positive light. So they come across very well. They come across as very smooth, charming, sophisticated, and as more intelligent than they actually are. So they tend to rise to senior positions wherever they work. And so the estimation is that around 3.5% of senior managers might be psychopathic, compared to only 1% of the general population. And that means, of course, that they have more power and influence than they otherwise would have. And there's another theory that they, because they're motivated by money, power, and prestige, they will tend to gravitate towards corporations or organizations where they can attain those elements that they're seeking. So they wouldn't go into social work, for example, because it's not glamorous, there's not much money, and it involves helping other people rather than helping yourself. So they are attracted to things like financial services, and there are some obvious examples of ruthless people in the States at the moment that have basically conned people out of their money. And so the theory is they're more attracted to the financial services industry than other industries. And within those industries, they seem to have engineered financial products which are so complicated that most people don't understand what they are or how they're used. And they basically seem to have been designed to generate profits and revenue and therefore bonuses for the people who have used them and who swap them between different banks. So they seem to have lost sight of the fact that they supposedly work for a company and rather than working for themselves. Does that answer your question?
I think it does, and it's interesting because in your description of the psychopath, the corporate psychopath, it almost strikes me as that would seem like some corporation's model employee.
Well, yes, I mean, people are willing to get the job done at whatever the cost or however ruthless you need to be to do it. I mean, you said in your initial email, I think, that your interest was more on the political side of psychopathy, which I haven't really studied, to be honest, or don't know much about. But of interest there is that I think something around 50% of the world's biggest economies are now corporations rather than countries. So it's these people in senior corporate positions who have immense amounts of power in terms of how the world uses its resources and how the world spends its money. There was a very recent paper linking the propensity for illegal toxic dumping with psychopathy. Everything was in exactly in the theoretical direction that you'd expect it to be in. So it's an immense effect on society, on the environment, on the world, that I think we can no longer choose to ignore.
I think so, and I think it's almost, it's not even just a plausible thesis. I think it's almost by definition one would expect to find psychopaths in these types of positions. And as you point out, as the economies of large corporations, multinational corporations, become larger than those of many countries on the planet, I mean, the difference between corporate psychopathy and the political psychopaths, I think, becomes a little bit blurred, especially in organizations like the World Trade Organization, which do seek to blur the line between the corporations and the governments. But I think it's extremely interesting to take a look at for example, of course, I'm not asking you to do any sort of clinical analysis of anyone here, but you did mention that there are people in the United States right now who would certainly fit this kind of mold of the completely ruthless person who has no empathy. And I assume we're talking about something along the lines of a Bernie Madoff type situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, seems an immense amount of ruthlessness involved in that case. Because I'm based in England, I don't know that much about it, so I can't really comment on the psychopathy of the people involved, but it would certainly look like it's worthy of an investigation by somebody.
It certainly, yes. Well, one would think so, but it also raises the question of if the people in the positions of actually investigating the acts of the psychopaths are themselves psychopathic, are we having a situation where the hens are guarding the foxes are guarding the hen house?
Well, you would in that case, yes. But I think psychopaths create a sort of dark shadow of unethical behavior all around them. So it's not necessarily that psychopaths are investigating psychopaths, it's that the whole moral climate of the industry has degenerated to such an extent that it's affecting everybody, and everybody seems to think that greed is good, for example, and couldn't care less about how that affects other people or the greater society in which they live.
Well, that's an important distinction, because I know some clinical psychologists use the distinction of psychopaths versus sociopaths, and saying that psychopaths actually create the conditions for sociopathy, where people are in many ways just emulating what they see coming from the psychopaths. And is that along the lines of what the research that you've done?
Yeah, well, I haven't really looked at that distinction. I usually make the distinction that psychology seems to think that psychopaths are born that way, whereas sociopaths, because it's socio as in socialization, are socialized to behave in a way that is part of a subgroup. So if you were born in a mafia family, for example, you might behave in a way that other people wouldn't behave, but you still have a conscience, and you can still be taught the difference between right and wrong, and you still have an ethical part of you that can be appealed to. Whereas a true psychopath doesn't have that part that can be appealed to, because there isn't a conscience there, and there isn't an emotional richness in intellectual makeup.
Well, a fascinating article, and I do hope that people will go to read it, as it's available online from springerlink.com, and it's Journal of Business Ethics from 2011, so just published. A very interesting article, again, The Corporate Psychopath's Theory of the Global Financial Crisis. So, Clive Budde, what are you working on next?
Well, because the initial set of research that I did on corporate psychopaths was so fruitful in terms of they seem to have a large and malign effect on everything they touch. So I've looked at bullying and corporate social responsibility and organizational constraints, productivity, workload. And I'm just analyzing a second set of results at the moment, which look at different issues. So I'm looking at management honesty, management credibility, organizational justice and ethics, employee well-being, marketing idealism and a service orientation in the company, whether there's a service orientation there or not. And I'm re-looking again at conflict and bullying and corporate social responsibility, because they were the two main effects that came out in the first wave of research. And I'm also in contact with researchers around the world who are doing similar things. And I'm trying to we're all trying to help and encourage each other to look at this further, because it seems that people are coming to similar conclusions to myself with regard to their possible role in the global financial crisis, for example. So they have a massive effect on everything, and therefore the potential research agenda of looking at what they do is huge.
It certainly is, and as I understand, you have a monograph out on this issue. Tell people about that.
Yeah, the monograph is called Corporate Psychopaths, Organizational Destroyers. And that basically is the book of my complete first set of research results. So it aimed as an academic book rather than a popular title. So you won't find it in airport lounges, but you will find it in university bookshops, for example. And I think it's available online in most e-bookshops.
That's right. And that was published by Palgrave Macmillan?
Yes, that's right. Palgrave Macmillan, deceased.
Absolutely. Well, people can certainly look for that online, and I'm sure they'll be able to find a copy. So, Clive Budde, a very fascinating topic of research, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing what you have to say on this in the future. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on The Corbett Report.
Okay, you're most welcome. Thanks for having me.